The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Someone once said, being happy is not all that it is cracked up to be. Now, would you agree with that statement? Have you ever really thought about being happy? I mean, really happy, even in this life. Over the years, I've met many people. It seems that their main goal in life is to be happy. They pursue, they go after being happy first and foremost. It's the most important thing in their life. I remember a friend of mine from long ago address a situation. He was talking about his son who was frustrated because his son was searching for happiness. And this friend said something along the lines of, my son is searching and seeking for happiness, but he won't know what it is until he finds it. Now, I don't know about you, but at the time and still, I also find this to be really humorous and also really sad at the same time. And the reason is because most people do not understand the causes or the source of happiness. As they search for happiness, they often become frustrated because they're looking in all the wrong places. They don't know really what it is. They don't know how to obtain it. They don't really know. They know that this is some word out there, but they really don't really know what it is and how to go about it. So let me ask you this question. What does cause real happiness? I mean, where does being happy come from? And asking that question, as you would probably guess, our great, loving, merciful God has already given us the keys to know how to find happiness. In fact, God's Word shows us numerous ways to define and many different ways to pursue happiness. Do you want to be happy? Now, let me tell you one of the ways. I said there are numerous ways and keys that God has given to us. One of the ways of how to be happy we find in the book of Proverbs. Because I said there are many different ones. And one of those keys came to us through King Solomon. So I think a good question to ask is, what was it that Solomon knew about being happy? Now, I also want us to understand from the very beginning of this teaching, let's realize happiness was not Solomon's having all the women. It was not his having all the wealth. It was not all of his experiences that gave him this vital key to understanding happiness. Solomon wrote it down as God had inspired him, because it was God who gave this to him. We're saying Solomon did this. God gave it to him. We understand that he inspired him. And then God had it preserved as part of the inspired Word of God. So with this in mind, let's go immediately to the book of Proverbs and go to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you from the reading of this verse, everything that follows is filler. This is the message. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets or obtains understanding. Because what we see here is that God says that through Solomon, that getting wisdom and understanding will greatly affect every part of our lives. How do we really, really, really examine ourselves for the Passover if we don't have all of this in the forefront in the thinking of our minds? If a man doesn't have wisdom and understanding, do you think he's really going to be able to know how to do these things? I don't think so. I think we're going to go at it, but are we going to really get to the bottom of it from what it says in Scripture? I don't think so. So this is all part of that same topic that was started in the sermonette. You see, God's word tells us that we must seek and we must find both wisdom and understanding. And remember, what we're focusing on in this is, do you want to be happy? And Solomon said, this is how you have happiness. This is how you get it. It's through having wisdom and understanding. So, brethren, I think all of us need daily goals that include seeking for wisdom and understanding. If we don't have them as really part of our daily goals, we're missing something that I think very vital, key ingredients to our being successful in this life. And it's right here in the pages of the Bible. And when rightly understood, wisdom and understanding will bring us true happiness as well as many other blessings. So let's ask ourselves a question. What is our number one strategy for attaining happiness? What is it? What do you use to go after happiness? Or are you one of these persons who, like the person that I quoted from the beginning, it's not all cracked up to be, it's not all cracked up to be what it's presented as? The Proverbs are written like a father speaking to, instructing his son. The Proverbs direct sons to search for wisdom. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. We started there in Proverbs 3, back at one proverb or one page in your Bible, whatever it is, and we're going to read pretty much all of this chapter 2, making comments as we go along. But let's begin in verse 1. This is Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words, if you will listen to what I'm talking to you, and if you will hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom, if you will listen for wisdom, for words of wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you search and seek her as silver and search for her as for fine treasure or hidden treasure, then if you seek them just like you're looking for gold, you're looking for silver, you're looking for these precious hidden treasures out here, how diligently would we go after it? Well, he's saying, go after wisdom in this way. Go after understanding in this way. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I want you to notice now, beginning in verse 7. Verse 7, where God tells us what wisdom and what understanding, what they are for, their purpose. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, we could go in every one of these words and we can explain. I'm not going to here in this teaching going to do that. In verse 8, he keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You see, Solomon told his son that sound wisdom would save him from a great deal of troubles. And this is what we say. We just continue reading on. In verse 10, we see some of these things. And let's read on. When wisdom enters into your heart, in other words, when wisdom has been internalized into who and what we are, into our very being, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you, and this is when he gets into some of these many troubles that having these things delivers us out of, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, to deliver you from the way of the man that speaks forward things. Now, do I read in words that are not in there, but it gives a clarity. To deliver you from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. In other words, going in another way from God, going in the other way, not in God's way, but going in another way. Wisdom and understanding, they will direct you and deliver you out of all of that because you'll know, oh, wait a minute, this is not of God. I need to change courses. I need to go another way. Who rejoices to do evil and delights in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are forward in their paths, to deliver you from the strange woman. Woman here could be a physical woman who's going to seduce you and take you off into another way. For the women, it could be another woman. It could be even another man, a man. But what the symbolism is of the false way of life. To deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsakes the guide of her youth. In other words, she was taught properly as a youth, but she's gone away from that. This is what it is I'm saying. And forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leans toward death, and her paths lean toward death. In other words, she's going to take you in the way of death. This is what it is saying. None that go after her return again, neither take they hold at the paths of life, because her ways are death. That you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Wisdom, so he's going back and saying, wisdom and understanding, can you deliver from all of those evil things? And what it will do is it will take you in the right way. That's what it is saying here. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Wisdom and understanding, Solomon also is telling his son to encourage him that all, and it's well for all of us as well, that we are to pursue wisdom. Solomon here is describing its great blessings. There are many, many blessings that we find here. And he's telling them to his son. He's telling them to us. In chapter 3, verse 14, beginning in verse 14. For the merchandise of it, meaning the merchandise, if you using wisdom as a merchandise, this is placing a value on it, something of value. This is what he's talking about. The merchandise of it, primarily he's talking about wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Ooh, that's interesting. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. You think he's putting a lot of value, worth, and great blessings upon wisdom, and that is coupled also with understanding here? And of course it is. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retains or holds on to her or to wisdom. It would almost make you want to have wisdom and understanding, wouldn't it? You know, this is what I want happiness to be. This is telling us how to be happy. So I think, brethren, as we can see, having godly wisdom and understanding can make us happy. What we have to do is to choose wisdom and understanding. And we need to seek wisdom and understanding diligently. Brother, if you made a comparison, now we're really comparing things that really, we can't really compare, but we're going to try and do that for an understanding, because this is what Solomon does. If we compared wisdom and understanding using some type of an economic scale. Now, I understand this is, we really can't do it, but we're going to see some things that is going to help us in this. What we would see is that the obtaining of wisdom understanding is even better than being rich with silver and gold. We actually just read that. It's in verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. They are also of greater value than rubies. Verse 15, the A part of the verse. She is more precious than rubies. In fact, what we actually see here is that we need to vigorously seek and embrace wisdom and understanding, because God wants us to have them, because he wants us to have happiness. Because you see, he gave that understanding to Solomon. Solomon came to it, and it was written down. God preserved it to be in the Bible, but it came from God. The B part of this verse 15, and all the things that you could desire are not to be compared unto her, wisdom and understanding. You can't compare it. Whatever it is that you go after, as happy as we might think that riches might bring to us, financial gain is temporary, and it cannot give lasting happiness to any person, even to us. Now, as the saying goes, I think I could be happier if I had more money than I had less, but hey, that's another thing. It didn't say there's a problem with having wealth, does it? It's what are we seeking after? What are we putting our focus? But the reality is, and the fact is, sometimes great riches can and could bring huge worries and problems. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich It didn't say that there was a problem with being rich. I want everybody to understand. If God gives riches, God gives riches. It's if we're laboring to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Because he's saying that is like having your own wisdom or a kind of worldly wisdom. Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. They go. They're gone. Unless it has come, really has come from God. You labor, 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 and you sacrifice, sacrifice, do all of these things to get wealthy. It might happen. But he's saying that's not what we're to be doing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 tells us somewhat the same thing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Again, he didn't say, either Old or New Testament is saying that having wealth is wrong. It's the seeking for it as to the in the place of going after what really is going to cause us to have wealth and happiness, which is wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, for the love of money, and I know most of the time we read it, a love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, in other words, they were coveting after wealth. See, there's the problem. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You can, if you're taking notes, you can also put down Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 through 17. We're not going to read those. It says a lot of the same things we've already seen here. So God's word tells us that wisdom and understanding will give us a long life, riches, and honor. Now, let's think about it. Which one of those three would any of us not want to have? Well, Proverbs 3 and verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Riches and honor will bring us pleasantness and peace. These are still just listing some of the different benefits that Solomon was telling to his son, which is also telling to us. Verse 17, this is still in Proverbs 3. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Because remember, he's talking about wisdom and understanding. And he's coupled this together with, you want to be happy? Which I find it very, very interesting that he couples all of this together. And this is what he's telling. He's telling this to his son and therefore telling it to us. And wisdom and understanding, he says, will be the source of a wonderful life. And if we hold on to them, we will be very happy. Proverbs 3 and verse 18. We read this earlier. I'm just rereading it with some statements in regards to it. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. So you want to be happy? Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. When you really think it all the way through, there is nothing this world has to offer that can compare to having wisdom and understanding. nothing. You're going to go, well, maybe having more of God's Holy Spirit. If you don't have wisdom and understanding, do you really think you're going to be obtaining more of the Holy Spirit of God? It's a question. It's a question. So a question, again, that I find myself asking, so I ask all of us, so why should we waste any more time and effort chasing after those things that cannot give us real, lasting happiness? And here also, I think, is just a really an important thing to think about. Brethren, if this magnificent description that I've tried to present here from the words of God through the words written, you know, of Solomon, the description of the benefits of wisdom and understanding, if these benefits were only half true, I still think that we should take every available opportunity to still go after and seek and finding them as a priority in our life. But as we know, they're from the Word of God, so it's 100% what he says is true. And I'm saying, if it was just half true, it'd be worth it. Seeking them and living by them is an enormous part of how, this is another point, of how we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Matthew 6:33, I'm not going to read it, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, I ask the question, if we really don't have this wisdom and understanding that is being talked about here, are we really going to be seeking the kingdom of God first? It has to be there. It has to just be part of who we are. He says, remember he talked about it, he says, if we put it in our hearts, if we internalize it, if it becomes part of who and what we are, then there's going to be real happiness. And if we've got real happiness, we're going to be able then to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Wisdom and understanding will always, always, always point us in the direction of God and his kingdom. And if we go back and take a look and listen to King Solomon, King of Israel, he knew what he was talking about. He had asked God for wisdom. He became anointed as the new king, and he asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 11. You can go back and you can read it and you can see that that's what he asked for. Now, he wound up having all of this wealth and all these other incredible human things, but he understood enough that what he needed was wisdom to be able to rule over God's people. He needed wisdom. He asked for it. God gave it to him. He was considered as being the wisest person who probably or apparently had lived at least at that time. The book of Ecclesiastes shows us that Solomon's having tried every sort of project and pleasure to find profit and happiness in this life, he concluded that wisdom and understanding were really the great goals that we should have in life. I want to go to Proverbs first, and then I'm going to go and read a verse over in Ecclesiastes, but here in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs 8, verse 32, we begin. Proverbs 8, 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed or happy is the man that hears me. And the me here is referring to wisdom being personified. Blessed or happy is the man that hears me, wisdom, listens to me, wisdom, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me, finds wisdom, finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Verse 36, but he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So, I think whenever we see it and we really analyze it and really think about it, this suddenly becomes a very important topic. Because not going after it is seeking death. Not obtaining it and holding on to it is seeking death. So we have these choices. Do we want all the world's riches and all the wine, women, and song and all of those kinds and all of that stuff? Or do we want wisdom and understanding, i.e., life? I think it puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? I think it does. Now, I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king? In other words, after he spent all that he can spend, all the time and all the effort and put it together, what is going to come after that? Even that which has been already done. My point was, if you remember back, I was saying that Solomon knew what he was talking about. You see, godly wisdom and understanding form the basis. When you really think about it, it's the source and it's the purpose for godly lives. Now, I know you could say it in another way. You could say, well, no, the purpose of godly lives is to be changed from flesh to spirit, born into the kingdom of God. I go back. If we don't have this wisdom and this understanding, if we're not going after it, if we're not retaining it, are we going to be changed from flesh to spirit and born into the kingdom of God? I think it's a question we got to seriously ask ourselves. Because, you see, they instruct us on how to deal correctly with every situation life brings to us. So instead of a hopeless confusion of not knowing what man's purpose is, nor how to handle life's problems, brethren, those who have wisdom and understanding find life to be an enjoyable and a peaceful experience with real happiness. Real happiness. Somebody could say, well, I'm very rich and I don't really have that kind of wisdom and understanding and I'm really happy. And I would say, I don't think so. Because it's counter to the Word of God. Not being rich, but being rich and not having this kind of biblical wisdom and understanding. They are successful people who have them. They are successful and they are rich when they are measured by God's standard and they are honored among good men, as the Bible labels them. Wisdom and understanding are built on the foundation of fearing God. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Hopefully most of you have this verse memorized. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, and verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So what increases wisdom and understanding? Wisdom and understanding are increased when we reject our own ideas and we trust God's instructions. We believe that God knows what he's talking about. We trust it. We change our lives to live that according to those instructions. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's incredible when you just take those 5, 6, and 7, those three verses, and you break it down and you see what those verses are actually telling us. We're not going to do it as part of this particular sermon, but it's an incredible study. It's so much more there. So, brethren, I think that we should be able to see that God raised up Solomon and he inspired these proverbs to teach wisdom and understanding, and as it says, to young men. And really, to every person who would take the time to read and to study them. Because that's what we're told. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 1. It tells us the purpose of it. Actually, it's the first 7 verses that tell us the real purpose of the whole book. But verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. In other words, he's saying, I'm writing these down to give this, to instruct this, to give this information, to make wisdom and understanding available. This is kind of what he really is saying here. And then in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man. Now, I want to stop there. I'm not focusing a lot on internal meanings of the verses here, but this phrase, young man, in the Hebrew, it would be more inclined to a term that we would use to say is would be like to the teenager. So it goes down at least to there. Now, I think we should be teaching Proverbs from the time that a child is able to hear and understand language, but that's me. But it says to do it to the young man, to the simple, to the young man. Knowledge and discretion. Focusing on learning about wisdom and understanding and asking God for wisdom every day is something that should be part of our everyday routine. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, do we really think that God is going to give wisdom to just anybody who asks of him that is not trying to seek God in his way of life? It's something I think we have to think about. You know, so in other words, we have to be living, attempting to live. Our purpose, our point in life is to please God. And so we know we're lacking in wisdom, so we ask him. What does he do? He gives it to us. I also think that every day should include searching the scriptures for wisdom. In Acts chapter 17 in verse 11, this is talking about the Bereans. Acts 17 verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they search the word with all readiness of mind, and searching the scriptures daily, where these things were so. So we search it for wisdom every day. Is there enough that you could search for every day out of the scriptures to obtain more wisdom? Yeah. Yes. Studying Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, can be part of our daily routine. I've taught this for years. A chapter a day by date of the day. Today's the 13th, you'd read, study chapter 13. Tomorrow's the 14th, you'd read and study chapter 14. It's real simple. And do this day by day by day. And if you do this every day of the year, in 1 year you've read and studied the book of Proverbs 12 times. And if you do this for 50 years, you've done it a lot. Every day should include applying what we learn. James 1 and verse 22, James 1 verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, I don't really have to do this because I know I've been around for such and such. Well, we're deceiving ourselves. It's real simple. With effort applied to these areas that I've addressed to this point, I think that we will find an abundant supply of wisdom and understanding. There's so much more. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then, that's effort. There's effort applied. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So let's go back to where we began, Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. So, brethren, I think what we need to realize is where these are both ultimately found, the final and infinite wisdom and understanding are found in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they're ultimately found. So what, when we're searching all of this, what are we really seeking? What are we really searching? To learn more about who and what is God. Colossians 2 and verse 1. Colossians 2 and verse 1. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And then verse 3. And then verse 3. In whom is in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. That's where it's found. So let's go back and address our opening statement. Being happy is not all that it is cracked up to be. Obviously, that was made by someone who does not know God's secrets. This was made by someone who obviously lacks godly wisdom and understanding. So I ask again, do you want to be happy? God's word shows us where real happiness is found. I want to go to one more verse. It's in the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. So, brother, real happiness in this life and in the next begins here with God and with his words of wisdom and understanding. So what really is wisdom and understanding? We didn't really focus on it in the sermon. Not really, did we? But we know how to be happy. We need to have wisdom and understanding. We've got to be seeking wisdom and understanding. We see that we find them in seeking God and his words and living by what he's proclaiming there. So perhaps, God willing, in a future message, we can actually address more about what really is wisdom and understanding. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise, in this way you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you with a continuous supply of wisdom and understanding. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.